Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. Welcome to the SiriusXM studios live here in Las Vegas at the Wynn Hotel and Resort. I'm blessed to have these extraordinary co-hosts, but I have a treat for you. One of my great mentors, coaches, and teachers, especially when it comes to the mindset of financial guidance. She has been an advisor to presidents, to countries as a whole. She wrote the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, created the game about cash flow. My friend, the incredible Sharon Lecter, welcome to Office Hours.
Thank you, my dear friend, David. I'm always delighted to be here.
So excited, because one of the things we haven't talked about on the show is personal success equation. I'm a big math person, and I know you are as well. Math can do wonderful things to mitigate risk, to create greater timing in your life. But I really hadn't thought about it in the context of personal success. And you've created an equation to help, I assume, fulfillment, purpose, passion, and profitability, which are four of the things that I think about. If I want personal success, I want, you know, this fulfillment, passion, purpose, and profitability. That would be a great personal success to me. Give me an idea. I know it's available to everybody at personalsuccessequation.com, but give me an idea of what this equation actually is.
Oh, absolutely. When I usually start talking about it, I always say an equation without numbers so people don't get terrified. But it's a P plus T, your passion plus your talent. And of course, we think we need to do everything on our own. Now, my passion, you hear, do what you love what you do. Well, my passion came from anger because I was mad we were not teaching kids about money in school. But talent, I had 35 years as CPA and many years in publishing, so I could combine that. But most of us stop there thinking we have to do everything on our own. True success comes when you take the P plus T times A, and that's association, the power of association. You, my dear friend, are one of my most cherished powers of association, as are a few other panel members. So, but power of association, do you have people on your team who are strong where you are weak? Do you have the right mentors? In the world that's fast-paced as we are, mentorship is everything. It really is what helps people create that success. Let's not make our own mistakes. Let's learn from other people's mistakes, right? And that power of association is making sure you have the right people on your team. And sometimes the mentor or the teams that have gotten you to where you are today may not be the right people to get you to where you deserve to be next year. And so you have to really analyze that and reassess periodically. And then times A, and that is taking action. Mm. How many times do we know what we're supposed to do? We just don't do it. It's such a huge issue. And every time I talk about it, it's like I'm looking in a mirror, right? So passion, talent, power of association, taking action, and then you wrap all of it with a plus F, and that's faith. Faith in what you're doing, faith that is needed and necessary, and faith that you will succeed. Unfortunately, that F for the vast majority of people, and Napoleon Hill said 98%, that F is fear. Mm-hmm. And that fear either paralyzes you or motivates you. And unfortunately, when we're paralyzed by fear, we will never achieve the level of success that we deserve, because we fail to take the action, but most importantly, we fail to have that fear convert to faith. And so I tell people, fear is a natural state, human state. Recognizing it and then taking that fear and converting it into fuel, into energy, into focus, you will eventually get to faith and having faith in what you're doing. And that's what brings you back to purpose. When we all have things, success is not a straight line. We have all have those dips in our travel, right? And when we're in that dip, the way you get the faith back is by facing the fear and converting it into faith, knowing that you are on the right path. Because when you know you're solving problems and serving needs, that's your purpose.
So beautiful. And I try to guide myself that way, including a lesson of humility of no matter who your mentors, teachers, and coaches are, as I have been blessed with two of them in the room. Getting from A to B is still a private lesson between you and your faith, but it's still very important to have those mentors, teachers, the association of those people that have been there or are there currently to help you guide through the pitfalls and the voids and shortages that are always there, the dummy tax. I know you're a financial expert. I'd rather you pay the dummy tax than me. It's a tax that nobody talks about. It'll cost you everything you have and everything you will have if you don't pay attention to mentorship, teaching, and coaching. Ike, I know you're a big fan of great mentors. I'm bringing one to you today to help you and guide you through your success.
Yeah, thank you. Great to see you again, Sharon.
Wonderful to see you, Ike.
When people are going through what they feel like will be their personal success, and you mentioned the F, should be faith or fuel, that fear that stops people, whether it's fear of success or fear that they don't feel like they can have the intellect or the skill set to do that, that transforms directly to the wealth, their wealth, financial freedom, and also just freedom to do what it is that they love to do. You've got old wealth, new wealth, true wealth. And right now, one of, if not the greatest wealth transfer in the history of humans is happening. And a lot of folks that didn't earn that in the traditional sense are going to start feeling that and coming across that. How can one reconcile fear and turn that to faith while also, oh, here's a bunch of maybe unearned success?
Fantastic question. Thank you for that, because that's one of my main goals and initiatives right now is we are facing the greatest wealth transfer in history. $124 trillion is coming down. 85% of that is coming to women and the younger generations. And unfortunately, both of those groups are not ready to receive it. And we need to educate ourselves. We need to educate them so that they can receive it, know how to invest it, know how to grow it, and know how to protect it for future generations. So we are at a turning point. As we look at our economic issues right now, we have to start educating. And the way, when you don't know, understand money, you're afraid of it. You know, you grow up hearing money doesn't grow on trees, pinch your penny, save for a rainy day. Well, when you grow up, you hear that money, negative, money, negative, money, negative. Of course, you end up with a scarcity mindset. And so this generation that's not educated itself about money, and women who have basically abdicated the control of money to their spouses, now have to start facing this and saying, I need to understand it. Because as you learn about money, you become more powerful. You are either in control of your money or it's in control of you. There's nothing in between. And so as concerned adults, and myself, older generation, is one of my biggest passions to make sure we prepare younger generations, both men and women, to understand that you need to let yourself learn about money. Learn how to invest in assets, my favorite word on earth, assets, and that, you know, not chase income. We're taught to exchange time for money. Go stop that. Let's take our time and invest it. Don't spend your time, invest it. Invest your time in buying, building, and creating income-producing assets. Assets are what give you the ability to be financially free. You are financially free when the income from your assets exceeds your monthly expenses. And it does not have to be millions of dollars. And it's such an important concept, and yet we are not taught that. And so understanding, how are you spending your time? Are you spending it and letting it go away, or are you investing your time in your future in buying, building, creating income-producing assets? Assets are sexy. And the older you get, the sexier they become.
They get sexier with age.
Yeah.
I wish I did.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
So your financial knowledge is great. And you mentor, which is amazing. You help so many people. And you post these daily tips, right? Abundance and financial tips. It all shows that people need education. My assumption is that a lot of people jump into situations when they don't have the right knowledge, especially with finances. So my question is there one thing that nearly everyone ignores that if they knew, could really change their life, their financial life?
Well, thank you for that question. I think, you know, understanding the power of assets, and yes, I appreciate that, my ATMs. So when we talk about starting a business, businesses that are successful solve a problem or serve a need. And that's what makes you successful, because you're solving a problem or serving a need. And so people need to understand what we look for our passion. Well, what problem do you want to solve? For me, every time I get mad about something, I start another company. And that's how the ATMs came about. Daily messaging, because when COVID hit, I was so exhausted from all the negativity around us that I said, okay, Sharon, if you're mad about something, do something about it, right? And so I started this daily messaging of abundance, tips, and mentorship. And so I'm giving you multiple answers to your question, but I think understanding that you need to control your thoughts. We have the ability to control our thoughts, our words, our actions. And if your thoughts are being bombarded by negativity, even if you don't pay attention to it consciously, your subconscious is hearing it. And so those negative thoughts impact your negative words and your negative actions. And so we must take control of our thoughts. I created another game called Thrive Time for Teens, for kids to learn that every decision they make either drives them to success or not. And if that one message could get along, that we are the CEOs of our life, we are in control. You can't blame everybody else. Don't be a victim, be a victor. Be in control of your thoughts. Positive thoughts create positive words, create positive actions. So
true. Wise one to wise one.
Well, yes. Good friend of ours, Mark Victor Hansen. Mark and you took on a project with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, the book Outwitting the Devil that had laid dormant for decades, literally. And in the book, Napoleon talks about drifting. And I just finished a book that was basically taking that and said, you know, stop drifting, start living. The idea of drifting, and you just mentioned this in terms of thinking, if my thoughts will generate my behaviors determine what I have in my life. If fear is rooted in scarcity, which I believe it is, I don't have enough courage, I don't have enough resource, but it's all culminating in the experience of fear, which can be paralyzing and can culminate in drifting over time. What's the hack that you bring into play here? Because talking about, you know, monitor your thoughts, that's one thing. But how does one go about actually countermanding the inertia that is built into society, built into religion, built into government, built into familial structures about shoulds? You should be this way. You should do that. You should or shouldn't. That is the generator of drift. And I start losing my agency in the process. Where does this come into play? And how do you actually begin to countermand that?
Well, the hack is actually the book Outwitting the Devil. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank God for that book.
You know, Napoleon Hill
wrote that book.
He wrote it in 1938, and it was hidden away for 73 years. And I had the unbelievable pleasure of bringing it out, because when I read it,
I loved your annotations, by the way.
The world needs this. And as when it was written in 38, things changed a little bit, but not a whole lot from a theory perspective. And so I had the pleasure and the incredible honor of annotating it. And it was really intended for the younger generations, because they didn't really know who Napoleon Hill was. Right. And so it was a way to introduce him to them, and the incredible impact that book has had. And so from a standpoint of your question, in the book, Napoleon Hill discusses how to get out of that fear, how to break the shackles of fear. And it really comes from that definiteness of purpose, right? Learning from adversity. We all have those oops moments, right? Having the right guidance, a mentor, right? A mentor has been where you want to go. But the most beautiful thing about it when you're in a state of fear is your mentor is not as emotionally involved as you are. Yep. And so one of the things I always say, high emotion, low intelligence. And so when you're in the midst of fear, you have high emotion. So your decisions are probably not going to be the best. And that's the reason having a mentor can help you make a reasoned, sensible, unemotional decision that will propel you forward. But then the two of the most important things related to that is control of your environment, the power of your environment. Who are you hanging out with? Yep. Are you with people who want to hold you back? And many times it's your own family,
yeah,
right? Really. So I tell people all the time, give them a little grace, because it's not that they don't want you to succeed. It's that they see you doing something productive and they're not. So they want to be comfortable. They want to pull you back so that they don't feel less than. And so give a little grace, put your cone of protection. I teach all my clients, cone of protection. Go out and keep doing what you're doing. Be the best you can be. And they're going to see you succeed. And then they're going to be your greatest cheerleaders. And then they're going to ask you for a loan if it's your family. But whatever.
Yep.
But the control of the environment. Are you surrounding yourself with people that are challenging you, that are supporting you, encouraging you? If not, you need to find a different environment. And then the other one is the power of your time. I mentioned this just earlier. How are you spending your time? When COVID hit, I was so frustrated because people were talking about couch surfing and going through Netflix. I'm going,
given a gift.
It's hard to think of it as a gift, but it was a gift. Mm-hmm. All this time for you to invest in, where am I today?
Yep.
Where do I want to be? What are the channels I can use? What kind of direction can I do to get to where I deserve to be? You know, people during COVID, they kept saying people had to pivot. And I go, I think you just need to recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're on a sailboat from LA to Catalina Island, you don't change your destination. But if the wind picks up, you got to change your sails. And so your tactics have to change, your strategies have to change. But when you have that definiteness of purpose, it doesn't change. I mean, my definiteness of purpose came in December of 1992 when my son came home in credit card debt. And I knew I had a gift of education that people needed to have. And I made that commitment to myself and to God. And today I'm as passionate about it as I was then. And it's something that, you know, your purpose doesn't change, but how you achieve it may have to,
yep,
given with the chaos that we have in the world that we have.
Great.
One of my favorite lines is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And we are blessed to have Sharon Lecter as a friend of Office Hours and these co-hosts, and especially myself. An amazing mentor, teacher, and a coach, a mentor, someone who sits in a situation I want to be in, a teacher who can actually explain how to get there, but most importantly, a coach, someone who consistently brings the best out of me. God bless you. Thank you so much. The incredible Sharon Lecter here on Office Hours.